Broadcasting from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, it's time for Executive Perspective. Executive Perspective is brought to you by Cressa, going beyond space to foster the best environment for every business. Now, here's your host, Danny Vandermeer.
Hello and welcome to Executive Perspective, a podcast series brought to you by Cressa, the world's largest company dedicated to representing occupiers of commercial real estate. At Cressa, we understand the value of business relationships, and that's why we decided to do this podcast series where we get to sit down with business leaders and ask them to share their perspectives. My name is Danny Vandermeer. I'm the Senior Vice President here in the Atlanta office of Cressa and proud host of Executive Perspective. Today, I want to welcome Mr. Mike Gaynor, Executive President at Carolina Handling.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Good to have you on the first day of spring, too.
And it feels like it here, so it's nice.
Yeah. A little cold snap fooled me a little bit this morning.
That's right.
Getting into the 30s was not what I expected the first day of spring to be like. But anyways, here we are.
That's right.
A little bit of background on you, Mike. Pre-Carolina Handling, proud graduate of Auburn University.
War Eagle.
Excited for the tournament this weekend.
We're ready.
We are ready. I hope. Skip past the first round.
That's right.
Funny enough, tail end of your Auburn career, you took a position with the athletic department for a little bit.
I did. I worked in there with the athletic director and at the time the head football coach and got to experience the whole back end part of sports at Auburn. So it was a great experience. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life when I was coming out of Auburn, but I loved that I was able to check the box and experience that there.
As a fan, that could go two different ways, but from what I know, it sounds like it went really well.
Yeah, I'd say we're fully bought in even after that. So.
Fully invested.
That's right.
So after graduating and after working at Auburn, you went to Penske for 5 years and you were in truck leasing. And after about 5 years at Penske, you went to a warehousing equipment company called Crown Equipment, where you were in sales for about 3 years. And then in 2010, you landed where we know where you're at now, at Carolina Handling, and you currently lead all sales and marketing efforts for the company. What more can you add to a little bit of your background if I didn't mention anything important? And what can you tell us about Carolina Handling, what Carolina Handling does and what you do at Carolina Handling?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for having me. Thrilled to be here to talk to you today. Yeah, so when I got out of school, I found myself more into the sales space. When I went to work at Penske, I started out in sales, got my toes in the water there with operations a little bit, starting to experience business to business, day-to-day actions, and eventually ended up at Carolina Handling in sales. I knew when I was in sales that I loved interacting with customers and solving problems. But at the end of the day, I was very passionate about creating teams, developing teams, hiring people. And when I got to Carolina Handling, I was given the opportunity to take over our sales organization in Atlanta and started learning things firsthand of how to be successful with the personnel side of things. And I've just been very passionate about that ever since. Carolina Handling, we started off as a small forklift company in Charlotte, North Carolina, about 60 years ago. Over time, they grew into the South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Florida panhandle markets. And about 10 years ago, we really started getting into the warehouse automation space as well. So it's been great to watch our company evolve from just a forklift provider and service company to the one-stop shop that we are today. Basically, we're an interior designer for warehouses. So anywhere you see a warehouse, we can sell everything that goes in there and be a one-stop shop for our customers.
No, I like that description, an interior designer for warehousing space, because there's one thing I can appreciate in our business is that, gosh, these facilities, they have so many different types of functions, correct, just like what your customers ask you to do in helping them plan and plot for them. So when I think about those warehouses and industrial real estate over, shoot, just the last 3 to 4 years, but then I think about when you probably first started Carolina Handling, it's been booming.
Unbelievable.
What's that been like for Carolina Handling to adapt to?
It's been tough to keep up with, to be honest.
And when I say booming too, I just mean just the sheer volume and square footage of space being delivered to this region of the country.
Absolutely. So down here in the Southeast, between companies relocating from the Midwest and the Northeast down to the Southeast for land, for the labor that we have down here, it's been busy. Then when you add in what's going on with the ports in Savannah and Mobile and Charleston, the business just keeps coming in. So for a company like us, 3 years ago, we had 500 associates, and today we have 800 associates. So to have that kind of
growth. That was just 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
Wow.
Coming out of COVID, business changed, and The demands continue to increase for us. So the challenge over the last 3 years, much less 10 years, is how do we find the quality associates that we can put out in the market from our sales force, engineers, service technicians, internal support. We, like probably a lot of people that are listening to this, trying to find good quality people that fit into what our culture is always the biggest struggle because, to your point, the amount of buildings that are going up down here is incredible. So just trying to keep up with that is certainly a challenge.
Yeah. And how do you help your clients keep up with that? Because at the root of this and at the root of what Carolina Handling does, you're talking about designing these spaces, these new spaces that are going up, these spaces that are expanding and ramping up your own labor just to accommodate it. But what are some of the biggest challenges that your clients and customers face that you try to approach them with just an open-ended mindset of let's learn about the problem and then let's address the problem?
What's very interesting in our field is that we interact with so many verticals of customers. Everybody has to have forklifts. Everybody needs conveyors. So whether it's automotive, grocery, e-commerce, we get to see it all. Each of those areas have their different issues that they're dealing with. I think labor, though, is the number one problem that everyone is having. Mm-hmm. How do we find enough good quality people to hire? And then how do we train them and retain them so that we can take care of their customers, moving product, receiving products? And our goal is to try to not help them find the people, to try to find ways to either get those folks up to speed quickly or automate some of their facilities where they can do more with less people. I think when you look across these different organizations, different space is an issue, whether they need to go higher or wider in buildings. Can they find the new construction locations that they need? But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to people more than anything else.
Got it. So much like for Carolina Handling and your customers, labor has just continued to be a problem. In the space that we're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about the materials handling space, specifically for the equipment that you guys sell and service.
Correct.
Got it. And so that's another good question I'm just thinking about right now. When I think about Carolina Handling, it's really easy to think about the shiny, beautiful looking forklifts and and side loaders and everything. But
sure.
Another equally as important part of your business is servicing. What more can you tell us about the servicing part of your business?
I think service is everything. Uh-huh. Look, if you wanted to buy a forklift, you could go to 12 different companies and buy a forklift. If you wanted to buy rack or conveyor, you can go to a million different places and get that.
To buy the actual piece of equipment.
To buy the piece of equipment. Yeah. Now, I'm not underselling what we do. I think we have phenomenal people with wonderful engineers that can design your different applications in any way needed. However, it's what happens once it's installed. Who keeps your business up and running? So we have large customers that when their lines go down, it could be millions of dollars for every minute that line is down.
And when you say lines, you're talking about their lines of equipment that they need for materials handling?
Absolutely. So we have customers, whether it's in e-commerce or let's take auto manufacturing. So we work with a lot of auto manufacturers in the Southeast. If their conveyor lines go down for minutes, they can put a hard dollar to it and it's in the millions. So who can keep those up and running for them once those things are installed? How we got into this was probably about 10 or 15 years ago, we had some customers in Georgia here that had bought a large conveyor system and they have maintenance folks on hand that could not get the conveyor up and running. The closest person to do that for them was in Indiana. So they were down for 3 days.
Wow.
We specialize in the fact that we have 400 service technicians in the Southeast and we can be at their facility in 1 hour to get them up and running. So for all of our customers, that's a hard cost and benefit that we can provide for them, not just by selling it to them, but by keeping them up and running as well.
When we say the Southeast as being your region and your territory, what states specifically?
Sure. So we cover North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle.
Got it.
So we are the Raymond forklift provider for the Southeast. And our parent company is Toyota. So it all funnels up into Toyota material handling.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just going to mention that. What's it like having Toyota as a parent?
It's great. You have the financial.
And how long has that been in effect?
Toyota took over the Raymond lines probably about 10 years ago. So Raymond out of upstate New York makes a lot of the electric forklifts for Toyota and obviously the Raymond equipment as well. It's definitely a huge benefit for us because we have the financial backing of one of the largest companies in the world but they really give us the autonomy to run our business as we see fit based on the top part of the world and the country that we're in. And it's been a fantastic partnership for us.
Yeah, excellent. And how long has that partnership been in effect?
So it's been
about 10 years now. Okay, great. Yep. And how did that come to be? Because when I think of Carolina Handling, 60 years ago, started out in North Carolina. Shoot, we already talked about your growth the last 3 years, but how did 10 years ago that meeting of the minds happen?
So you have Toyota prides itself in brand awareness, and they like to be the strongest brand in whatever field that they're in. Raymond actually created the Reach truck, which is a type of forklift that's out in the market many years ago. And Toyota looked at Raymond as a best in class and was able to acquire it and tie it into their line of equipment. And now you have the benefit of the Toyota propane lines to go along with the Raymond electric lines. So it really gives us a best in class offering for all of our customers.
Nice, nice. And I know we're jumping around a little bit here, but we were talking expansion a minute ago. What do you see as one of the potential challenges as we continue to rapidly grow that we are still working on? And I say we as a region, when it comes to accommodating those material handling companies of this region.
Yeah. Any of us that are driving between Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina, everything we see is just warehouses being built everywhere.
Everywhere.
It seems like there's no more just open space. There's just buildings going in. Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's great for our part of the country. And with that comes challenges of infrastructure, workforce, being an attractive company to hire those workers that are out there. It's something that we are constantly trying to be the best at, as most of our customers are as well. We're all competing for those same folks. And how do you stand out to try to make your business the most attractive? And I think that's what a lot of customers are dealing with now.
Mm-hmm. They're dealing with the challenge of trying to separate themselves from their competitors.
Correct.
And distinguish their product specifically.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So we were talking about this earlier too, labor. I know that over the last 10 years, we, and I say we collectively as a society, as a country, we've seen technology advance and specifically AI. And I'm curious to know, how has AI impacted the landscape of material handling businesses that you work with and also Carolina Handling's business model?
Absolutely. So that is rapidly becoming a larger portion of our business. So last week here in Atlanta, we had the largest trade show that's in the U.S. It's called MODEX. And when you go in there, the whole Georgia World Congress Center was taken up with material handling companies, from software companies, robotics, forklifts, you name it. When you go around that space and see the amount of AI that's there, it just blows your mind. There are so many companies with so many products that do things so differently. This is what is happening when these companies can't find enough labor. The birth rate in the country right now is slower than it's been in the past from all the baby boomers that are starting to retire.
Is that right?
That's correct.
That's interesting.
So there's more jobs that are available than there are workers to fill those jobs, especially in the Southeast right now with the amount of companies we have coming in here. So going out and getting creative on how you can handle the materials differently and make sure your customers are supported is becoming more and more prevalent. When you look at some of these creative ways that companies are going about this, the return on investment's there because, one, you can't find two or three shifts of folks to work. And even if you can, you're trying, one, to train them and then retain them when others are trying to offer higher wages to attract good people. So it is changing the landscape dramatically.
And it's interesting the way you describe it, that in a lot of ways, born out of necessity because of our shortage in labor.
Yeah.
From a service standpoint, how has the boom in AI impacted Carolina Handling and your approach to helping your customers?
Yeah. So it has definitely been a change and a challenge for us. We'll have 400 technicians in the Southeast that are the best at what they do with keeping up with forklifts and other material handling equipment. They love to be the expert and they come in and have you up and running in no time. And to introduce all these new products, it's a little scary, only because it's different.
Right.
So when you're trying to train 400 technicians on thousands of different products that are out there, it is a challenge. So we've really had to revamp how and where we train each of our service technicians so that they can stay up to date on this new technology as it comes out. So it has been a big challenge, but they have done a phenomenal job adapting to different types of products that they're going to be working on.
Yeah, it sounds like changes work.
They do, but you got to really put some planning in place to make it happen. That's for sure.
But generally speaking, when change comes around the corner, everybody kind of groans and winces a little bit because you got to do something different.
Absolutely.
And by nature, your customers, and just like a lot of everyone else's customers, it takes a little bit of intentionality to be able to pivot intelligently in order to adapt.
Absolutely.
So how have you seen AI and the introduction and insertion of AI, how have you seen it benefit the way some of your customers do business?
There's no doubt that it makes it more efficient. It's very dependable. So we've seen systems that could be a $9 million investment with a 9-month ROI on it because of the efficiencies that they pick up with it. Now, getting customers to view those type of solutions at that dollar amount is a different conversation where you really have to explain and show them the benefits, help them feel confident that you know how to install it and fulfill what their end goals are. And it's been really neat to see some of the different solutions that are out there and ways that we can get customers to start looking at things differently. Even if it's as simple as how they unload trailers when it comes into their facility, much less how they're picking products with robots. It's amazing what it's turned into. So
it is a sight to see.
It is.
If you've ever had a chance to see it, it looks like something right out of the movies, right? From 30 years ago when they were predicting the future. And here we are.
It's crazy. I go into a lot of facilities throughout the Southeast, and you'll go into a place that's 2 million square feet and they'll have 6 people working in there with 4 forklifts and the whole thing's automated. It's wow, man. But that's where companies are trying to go. Some of the big e-commerce companies like Amazon obviously have led the way with that. And now you see a lot of other companies that are trying to mirror what they're doing and pick up some of those efficiencies.
How do you see those efficiencies impacting the industry and these businesses and your clients over the next 5 to 10 years?
I don't see it going away. I think COVID really sped a lot of this up. When COVID hit, we all got used to ordering our groceries online. Amazon obviously boomed. Nobody's going to the mall anymore. If you're not buying it online, you're not getting the sales.
Yeah.
So with that came a lot of challenges, not just for companies fulfilling the orders. What really happened is when people sent returns back, how do you handle that when it comes in? It's a whole different part of the supply chain that no one really had to deal with at that volume before. So it forced us into that. And everybody, me included, have gotten so used to just buying everything that way. And I'm going to order 2 of these and whichever one doesn't fit, I'll just send back. It's forced these companies to have to change how they traditionally have handled their own businesses. And that can be not just e-commerce or grocery. This can be anything that you're purchasing or acquiring. And it's been interesting to watch how it's changed the way our customers go about things and the way we have to go about supporting them so that they can come through for their customers in that way. So it's fun to watch, but it's unbelievable how much it's changed.
Yeah, it is. And to that point of change, just over the last 3 years, for you guys going from 500 to 800 people, and from just what we've seen, what I see, what our company sees in industrial real estate, I'd venture to guess that you guys track the material handling industry pretty closely.
And very closely.
Predictively, you try to make sure you could align Carolina Handling's growth with the industries. What did you guys think? What did it look like compared to what actually happened over the last 3 years ago? And with that, what have been some of the best things that have come from it for Carolina Handling?
So I can think back to when COVID first hit and we sat down with our executive.
What a day that was.
Boy, I'll never forget it. And actually this trade show I told you about, we were hosting it that week in Atlanta when COVID just shut it down. And it was unbelievable.
And now that you're never talking about this, it was early March. It was early spring when that happened 4 years ago.
Yes.
Almost exactly to this day that we're sitting down and having this conversation.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing for us is when that hit, we sat down with our executive team and we decided, are we going to be aggressive with this or are we going to sit back and just wait and see what happens? Because there was so much uncertainty and we thought our customers, regardless, are going to need equipment. They're going to need service. We don't know how we're going to get it to them, but we need to continue to grow as they get ready to ramp up coming out of COVID. We hired a lot more people out in advance, got them trained. So when customers' needs came in, we were prepared and had our folks developed where they could go out and take care of those people. It's unreal. When COVID hit, everything stalled. And then when it came out of it, it just took off. It was unbelievable, especially in the e-commerce space. So I feel like because of how aggressive we were in making sure that we kept our rental fleet high, we kept our associates high, we laid no one off during COVID, it really put us in a prime position coming out of that time to where our business has just grown substantially. And that's probably the one of the best decisions we've made as an organization, probably in our 60-year history.
So great. To be assertive and aggressive at that moment in time.
People were laying folks off and we were hiring.
At really? The exact same in time. Your industry, people were.
Absolutely. And other companies. You saw people.
That sounds nutty to think about, knowing what we know now.
It is. We knew, though, from a service technician level that once the demand increased, people wouldn't be able to get forklifts or other products quickly. So somebody was going to have to take care of them and keep them up and running for their business needs. It really gave us a chance to shine to help our customers out when we got into that space.
It sounds like the answer to that original question was when it all happened, you guys hunkered down and just started planning for the growth. Yep. And predicting the growth in some ways, trying to figure out what it might look like.
And we didn't know it would go that
predicting, I say predicting loosely to say you guys were preparing for it.
Yeah.
Because I know right before that point in time, e-commerce was on a very steady incline and it just ratcheted right up. We all were at home and that's amazing.
Unbelievable. So interesting. Yes.
So Carolina Handling, you guys do some pretty cool things philanthropically.
Yes.
What can you share about that?
Very proud about that. So our organization is a few things that I feel like I want to say separate us, but we're just very proud of when we're recruiting folks. The number one thing we do is we're very active in our community. We're across a 5-state area here in Atlanta. We do a lot with the Atlanta Food Bank, the Ronald McDonald House. Every single company event we have, we tie it to a charity. Whether that's we have a sales and service meeting in Greenville, we have local schools come in with second grade classes that we'll put on a Halloween parade for. Every year we have one set big charity that we'll try to support. This past year was children with cancer and helping those families out. This year we're focusing on hunger. So regardless of what area we're in, we're very proud of the fact that we can be part of those communities and do more than just support our customers out there. We want to support our community in general. So that's been great. The other fantastic thing with Carolina Handling, we probably don't share a lot of this, but every year at Christmas, all of our folks donate into one big cause and the company matches whatever is donated. And then at any point during the year where any of our associates have any hardships with unexpected death in the family, illness, time off work, we're able to go in and support them in that way. And it's a great way to take care of each other. And it's just the culture that's been at Carolina Handling that makes me stay there year over year. And business is business, but making it more about supporting each other and being part of a family, I think is really special. And we're very proud of that in each of our communities.
Where does the spirit of that culture come from,
man?
In Carolina?
Man, it's been here. This company's been around for 60 years and I've been fortunate enough to be here for 15. And I look across the board at the quality of people that we have here. And they don't only just care for each other that way, they care for their customers in that way. And we encourage that. We give the utmost autonomy for all of our associates to take care of their customers at any time. They don't have to ask permission to do the right thing for their customers. And I think that's special. There's no hierarchy of requests of what they can do. They're empowered to make those right decisions. That's been bred in over decades here. And the way that we're up to 800 people and we still operate like we're a 150 person company. We're just a lot bigger and across more territory now. So it's just a special place to be with that.
That's awesome. Great to hear. It sounds like more than just being a business operating in a territory when you do things like go out of your way to have special needs delivered and served in these specific areas where you guys operate. That's super cool.
Absolutely. It's a great place. I just feel lucky to be part of it. You know, the folks out there taking care of our customers every day, that's the hard job. They do a fantastic job and I'm just lucky enough to be part of that organization and support them any way I can.
Oh, that's awesome. So I love to end these recordings with just a couple of guest-focused questions.
Okay.
So wanted to ask, what makes, for you, at Carolina Handling and in life, what makes the best day for you?
Interacting with our folks is the most important thing and the part I enjoy the most. We go out of our way to support our customers at the highest level, but I truly believe if we hire the best people and support them the right way, that they're always going to give the best customer service. my wife kind of jokes. She's like, what do you do every day? She's like, you're always happy. You enjoy it. I was like, I get to work with a lot of my friends and support them any way I can. And I think you live life once and you got to enjoy what you're doing. And I feel like I'm just fortunate and blessed to work with so many quality people that I get to enjoy that with.
Positive social interaction makes a good day.
It does. Not all. There's things that are tough you have to deal with, but when you surround yourself with folks that want to do what's right, it makes it a lot easier.
Nice. So the last one, if you weren't doing what you're doing now, which you love to do, and
I do.
I love to hear how passionate you are about it, professionally, philanthropically, and personally, if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing? What industry or what realm of business or even pursuit would you love to entertain or dabble in if you could and if you didn't love what you were doing?
Man, that's an interesting question. Yeah. So
it's a hard one.
It is.
No one's holding you to this. And I know Carolina Handling's not worried about you.
It's funny. I never thought I'd be in the material handling industry in the first place. So I'm like, man, I love what I do. I never would have thought I was doing that day in and day out. I could do anything. I'll be honest. I'll go back to the beginning. I'm an Auburn guy. I love it there. Yeah. If I could go back and open my own little business in Auburn and live down there and be part of that community and, I would love to do something like that, just where it was a small little business that I owned on my own in some form or fashion. That would probably be key. As long as I could interact with people daily and be part of something, I think that would make me incredibly happy.
Auburn is a special place.
I don't want to just say that because you're an Auburn guy.
No,
I agree with you on that.
It's amazing. It is. I see the draw.
Yes. So,
because I drink the Kool-Aid too.
There you go. That's right. But yeah, I guess that.
And to that point, how do you see us? We're going to get real off subject here. How do you see us doing this weekend? No one's holding you to this prediction.
Man, I could go on this all day.
Yeah.
So we looked great over the weekend in Nashville. I think we are very capable of beating just about anybody, but we're going all the way to the West Coast and we're in a really tough bracket. Right. So I think we at least make it to the Sweet 16, I hope, knock on wood. But then with UConn coming through there, it could be a little tough. So.
It's not the easiest bracket.
No.
A lot of these brackets aren't easy, but man,
it's tough.
Really stacked against us to go that far out west. But not unlike 2019 a little bit, though.
Very true. When we went to the Final Four, we had to beat Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky.
Blue Bloods.
So
college basketball blue bloods. In a lot of ways, if you're playing to your competition, maybe you don't want the layups at the beginning of the bracket, right?
We could probably do a separate podcast on this subject together.
Oh, we easily could. Yeah, we easily could. We'll book it. And to that point, we've covered everything. I appreciate you answering everything that you have just about going through 2020 and beyond and everything in the materials handling business and sharing with us everything you have about Carolina Handling, Auburn football. Shoot. We hit it all. Yep. Everything and in between. Mike, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Danny. I appreciate it.
Happy spring to you. And yeah, next time we'll just keep it strictly to Auburn.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Executive Perspective. This show is brought to you by Cressa, the world's largest occupier-centric commercial real estate firm offering unbiased, conflict-free advice. For more information, go to cressa.com.